Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 79 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 181. So if you'd like to order at the end of the program, Sharon will give you four different ways how to order it. And please specify as to whether you want a tape or a CD. We have some letters and a response from one of the churches in New Jersey. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly and open the hearts of. I want Him to anoint me, Father. I know you do it all the time, but also open the hearts and souls and the minds, especially the mind, because we need a renewal of our minds to know what your word means and to have the will of our soul turned over to you to do your will, to be thoroughly consecrated unto you because you purchased us. The reason for our having to consecrate ourselves is because we don't belong to ourselves. Know ye not that ye are the house of God, the temple of God, and I live in you, and you don't belong to yourself any longer because you were on your way to hell, and I purchased you with the blood of my dearly only begotten Son, my dearly only begotten Son, and He washed you in that blood, and He wants, now I demand that you consecrate, give yourself completely over to Him to do His will. He has the right to do with you whatever He wishes because you are not your own. You belong to Him because of His purchase. Okay, Father, we ask that you get this straight in the people's minds in Radioland and to the church as well, because without our knowledge of the reason for consecration, we will not be consecrated unto you. In other words, we will not do your will. Lord, we ask that you get this into the minds of the people of the world and also to the church, that the church will be strengthened and have the fiber, the salt, the savor in them, and that the souls in the world will be saved. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Where's the first letter from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
We greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our pleasure to inform you that we have been blessed and touched with your ministry. You and your ministry have inspired me so much on how God is using you and your response to Him.
Well, the Lord wants to use everyone. That's the basis of consecration. When the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, He demanded that they be consecrated and that they would surrender the firstborn of every person that is born out of a woman's womb and also out of every animal that day, because He bought them. He purchased them with the blood of the lamb that they killed on the night that the Lord delivered them out of Egypt. And so because of the fact that the Lord owns us, the Bible says that we're not our own. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that you don't belong to yourself? Because the Lord thinks of us as a house. And when a person pays for that house, like if you went out to purchase a house today, you have the right to live in it and do whatever you want in it. And when the Lord owns you, He has the right to do whatever He pleases. You have to... If you're going to go to heaven, are commanded by the Lord to turn yourself completely over to the Lord and let Him run His house, which was your house at one time, or the devil's house, but now he's moved in and you cannot do what you please because God said so, because He owns you. If I buy a car, I can run it into a brick wall if I want to, or a concrete wall, whatever. Or I can run it into the ocean, I can drive it and take good care of it. I can change the color of it if I want. I can tear the seats out and put bucket seats in it if I want. I can put the best CD player or DVD player in the back seat. I can do anything I want with that car because I own it. I paid the price for it. Well, the Lord paid the price for us by giving His dear Son to pay for our former sins, and that He demands that we don't sin any longer. And the only way that that can happen is if He's living in us and we allow Him to do His will through us, that He can win souls through us. And that's what He... And a lot of people say, well, we just thank God that you're letting, that you're consecrated unto the Lord. But what about you, okay, friend? Okay, now, if I'm an example unto you, then you have to do what I do, because Jesus was our role model, and we are to do what He did. And He prayed all night. He laid hands on the sick and afflicted. And if we believe, these signs shall follow those that believe. You'll show your consecration, and God will honor your consecration by giving you signs and miracles. And if you're consecrated, if you turn yourself completely over to Him, then you'll hear from Him, and you will be able to communicate to Him. But a lot of people, I hear all these evangelists saying, God's just going, you all are of the Lord, and you're all saved, and you're all going to be able to do this and that. You know, but they never talk about giving their entire life over to the Lord, because if they did, no one would send them money anymore. And they're into the money racket. These people should be, in the kingdom of heaven, will be indicted for RICO. That's a racket. That's the name of the crime of racketeering. Because they're racketeers. They don't tell you the truth that you must let God move into you. You're a vehicle that He wants to drive, and we have no right to commit fornication any longer, or adultery, and homosexuals and lesbians cannot do that, or even they're not to even think of it anymore, because you don't live in there anymore. It's God who has given you the power by moving into your spirit to do His will. What would it be if you bought a house and then somebody came in there and started telling you what to do with it? Wouldn't that infuriate you? Well, don't you think that infuriates God? It infuriates Him so much that He says He shall have to spend eternity in the lake of fire for not letting Him do with what He purchased. You say, well, I don't care what I belong to myself. No, you don't, okay? A lot of people think that we should consecrate ourselves to God because He's our creator. No, that isn't true, because He created us and gave us a free will and gave us the opportunity to do what we will. He says, okay, I want you to consecrate yourself. But if you want to consecrate yourself to yourself, then you're going to hell in the lake of fire. Okay, because I bought you and you're stealing yourself away from me. Okay, if I go to a grocery store and buy a bag full of groceries, whether it be a bag full of grapes or some tangerines or whatever I want to buy, I have the right to take them out of the store if I pay the price for it. Well, God paid the price for us with the blood of His Son. And if you don't receive that, well, then that means you're trampling the blood of His Son underfoot and accounting it as nothing. That you're more important, and that you have the right to do what you will. And therefore, in other words, you say, well, we sure do admire, you, Tony, because you're doing the will of the Lord. Well, I'm not the one to admire. You're the Lord is the one to admire. He's the one to obey. He's the one to not imitate, but let Him live in you. That's no imitation. You hear a bunch of these false prophets saying, well, we're to imitate the Lord. No, imitating is like a mimic, like monkeys imitate people, They see, that they see somebody cut their throat, and so they won't do that, though. They stop short right there, okay? So, or they'll, you put your fingers up by your ears and wiggle them back and forth, and they'll do that, and they all that kind of stuff. But the Lord doesn't want an imitation. He wants to live in you. And if you don't let him, well, then you're the monkey. Okay, you decided not to be a member of the Lord's body, but you decided to remain a monkey. Okay, and all monkeys, humans that refuse to do the will of the Lord, I go to hell. Now, I know that the Lord is a God of love, but I also know that he kills, and that he's a God of his word. What he says, he means. It's a very serious God. And the Bible says that he's so serious and so holy that when he looks at the earth and the heavens, in the book of Revelation, they flee from him because there's so much sin that's been in the universe, in heaven and in hell, that it just flees away from his holiness. And he wants us, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because you can't fit. You'll flee away and go into the pit of hell if he looks at you on judgment day, and you there's sin all over your soul. And he doesn't tell us to be consecrated because of that he, for his purpose or his that it benefits him. It's because it benefits you. There's a certain way that you have to drive down the highway. You don't, if somebody tells you to go down the highway and put a blindfold on and start playing jacks in the middle of the freeway or the highway, you're liable to get hit, especially if you do it at nighttime and wear black clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing to do is, like, we have the Word of God, which is our light, to show us to not do things like that, and to show us not to commit adultery, fornication, to lie, to steal. If you think that you're consecrated unto the Lord and you're still lying, you're not consecrated unto him. You don't think that he owns you. If you're a vessel of the Lord, there's no lies coming out of your rotten mouth. You're a filthy liar. And that means that you're contaminated with Satan and that you refuse to do the will of the Lord. You refuse to consecrate yourself. And you refuse to believe that he owns you. And if he owns you, he's living in you. He's not lying in you. There's somebody else in there if you're a liar. There's somebody else in you. If you're not a helpmate to your husband, then you're just saying, I don't care what the Lord says. And if you're a husband and you're not providing for your wife and your children, don't say that you'd like to gamble or go and get drugs or go to the store and buy booze, and you get drunk and use up all your money, or you buy things for you that satisfy you rather than to see your wife and children being supported financially, spiritually, and physically. Well, then you don't believe God owns you, and you're trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot. And you account the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing, and you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. So consecration is very important, and the reason for consecration is because he bought us, and we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him, and people have to keep it in their mind to meditate on it, to surrender yourself to his will on a daily basis. And somebody was just reading in the Bible where it says that we constrain ourselves because of the love that God had for us. Love that is not sufficient enough for us to for consecration, because love is a thing of a mood. Hate is a mood. One day we love the Lord, the next day I don't know about that. So emotions are not sufficient to keep ourselves consecrated. The sufficiency of consecration is that he purchased us. And if you forget that, if you forget the blood of Jesus, which is the greatest price that has ever been paid for anything in the entire universe, then you're lost, because you're going to sin. you're not going to remember that you don't belong to yourself, but that you belong to the Lord, and you're going to do whatever you please. You're emotional. Love is an emotion. One day I love, the next day I don't know about that. One day I hate, but then, you know, if you do something to me, and you, maybe I see something that I love about you, I love you maybe for a while. But if I know that God owns me and he wants to do his will in me because he purchased me, he bought me with his blood, well, then I have to remember that on a daily basis and continue doing what he wants to be. Not being concerned about whether I feel happy and full of love one day or unhappy and full of hate the next day. I have to serve him every day because he bought me, he purchased me, he paid for me with blood, the blood of God. Okay? The human blood that God was living in this human being named Jesus, and he shed his blood and paid the price for me on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, he says in his word, I own you. Know you not that you're the temple, the body, the house of God, and you don't belong to yourself. Okay? Okay, then what?
I cannot explain it all in this message, but please take it. I have been moved very, very much.
Okay, if you're moved, then remember that movement every day, and remember to do the will of the Lord, because he bought you. You have to be like I am. You have to be a testimony, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, a house of his that he lives in, and then he'll manifest himself in you. He'll show himself to be living in you on a daily basis because you do whatever he says. And if you did this, if you didn't do it, and you were ignorant of the fact, well, then we have 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Do you have it available there for us to read?
Yes.
Okay, read that.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Okay, so what that's saying is if we sin, if you read the rest of the Bible, you see there are sins that can be forgiven and there are sins that are unto death. But if you did it ignorantly, it says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father through Christ, the blood of Jesus. But Ed, that means if you repent and you don't sin anymore. Repent means that you repent of your sins. That means you don't sin anymore. But if you do it ignorantly and it comes to you and God brings that to your attention, and then you can say, well, I'm not lost right now because I did it ignorantly. I didn't know these things. I didn't know that God required me to surrender my entire self over unto him. That means to consecrate ourselves to do what he wants to do with us. When the Lord allowed me to go to prison, I just figured all things work together for the good. God just owns me, and so if he wants me to go there because there's something wrong with me, or if he wants me to go there because I'm tough enough spiritually to be able to go into that prison and win a lot of souls, he owns me. I have no right to complain about that. He owns me. Or if I go to prison or jail for distributing literature and preaching life to people, that's his business. He owns me. I don't own myself. Or if he allows me to get sick so that people can see that I'm not complaining or I'm not quitting the ministry because I'm sick, he still owns me and he still lives in me, and he wants to show that I'm a person that can take whatever happens to me, because he plainly states in his word that the rain and it falls on the just and the unjust, those that God is living in and those that he's not living in. So, but the one beautiful thing about the whole situation so far as the just are concerned is that we have a consolation. Even if we die from a sickness, or even if we go to prison, we are saved. We're born again. One time I got a little bit weak in prison, and I says, Lord, you know, I've been in here now for 3 years or so, and I need something from you. I need a word. I haven't questioned this. Am I here for something that I did wrong? Or am I here because, they they need me in the prison here to be a witness for them. And I says, give me something that I can base some happiness on while I'm here. And he says, you're saved. Tears came to my eye, and I'm, believe me, I'm not a person that weeps. It's a rare thing if you ever saw a tear in my eye. And that was just rejoicing. Then all of a sudden, I said, but Lord, is there something else you can give me? You said, give me two words, you're saved. That was just, that's wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
And so he says, you're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. I said, that's it. Okay, that's enough.
Amen.
That's enough. No matter what I have to go through, Lord, that's enough. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you can rejoice at that, there isn't anything else in this world to rejoice at but that you're saved and you're going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, it's good to just let yourself be, let God have his way with you and don't complain. You know, get your eyes off the world. The people of the world, with the exception to witness and testify to them like I do here on these tapes. Forget all these things that are besetting you. Don't let anything distract you from being consecrated unto the Lord. He owns you. You have to keep that in your mind all the time. You have to meditate on it. You have to rehearse that in your mind every day. You don't have the right to do what Satan tells you to do, what your flesh tells you to do, what your soul tells you to do. You have to have we must let the Lord live in our spirits and allow him to have his way. The Lord has his way in a whirlwind, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So there's all kinds of whirlwinds going around us, all sorts of distractions. But if you remember that the Lord owns you and that he lives in you and that he has the right to do whatever he wants with you, then you're not going to murmur and complain.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord hates murmurers and complainers. He loves people that do whatever he says willingly. Some people get off the hook with that so far as him putting them through different trials and tribulations. He does say that he's going to put you, if you go into heaven, you will experience trials and tribulations. And he does that for your own good, because the more trials and tribulations we go through, the more stronger we get, spiritually. Because he wants to see if you will willingly go through trials and tribulations. Sometimes the Lord creates an environment where these things happen to check you out, to see if you have the mettle to go through whatever it is that you're having to go through. We look at his example. He went through more than any of us will ever go through, I believe. And whatever, even if we did go through whatever we did, he had the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in his body, and we do too. If you don't, but if you have that in your body, and then you don't think that you don't have to keep his commandments, to let him own you, to be his slave, to do whatever he wants. Well then, if I buy a horse, I can make the horse do whatever I want. If I don't, I'm selling him to the glue factory. And that's what the Lord does to us. The glue factory is hell and the lake of fire.
Amen.
Okay, now let's continue on. Didn't even finish the first letter yet, right?
Right. I and my wife, Mercy, are requesting you to allow us to visit you and the whole church, if possible, to enable us to strengthen our relationship with you and also to learn more from your ministry for the sake of our small ministry.
Well, you want to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Because I'm never going to have people strengthen their relationship with me outside of if you're a brother or a sister in Christ. Yes, we are the one in Christ Jesus, okay? But what we need to do is get our relationship straightened out and strengthened with the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the only way to have a strong relationship with the Lord, is to realize and to know without any doubt that the basis for our consecration to the Lord is that he bought us. And when you buy something, this scenario applies with God as well. If he buys something, he owns it, and he's going to do with you whatever he wants. If you're unwilling to do that, you're not going to go to heaven. Because if I owned a house and the house kept pushing me out the door, and I bought it, I'm going to burn that stinking place down, you understand? Mm-hmm. And so that's what the Lord's going to do too, right?
Amen.
You're not going to push me out of my house.
Yes.
All right? Okay, let's go.
We will be very greatly appreciate to meet with you in person and all wonderful people of God who are standing with you in faith for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the globe. Please pray for us as we go forward doing the will of God. Your immediate answer by fax will be highly appreciated so that we can start making our arrangements. May God continue to bless and prosper you in every way, and I pray His grace will be overflowing in your life. Yours in His divine calling, Pastor Luke from Malawi, Africa.
Okay. Well, you know, sure, you're welcome here as the flowers in May. But don't come with that attitude that, you know, strengthen your relationship with me, because if you're a brother in Christ, we're as strong as we can get and towards each other. But just keep getting stronger in Christ, okay? Then the next letter is from where?
From Hampstead, Maryland.
Okay.
I received earthquake when I was in Tennessee with my sister.
Okay. The literature that I've written entitled Earthquake is what it should say, okay?
Yes.
So I received his acting like he's happy that there was an earthquake there. No, I received earthquake. No, I received the literature that you wrote entitled Earthquake, okay?
Yes.
Then what?
I know the Lord Jesus Christ told whoever was giving them out to put the literature on my sister's car, because when we came back from the zoo, there wasn't any other earthquake papers on any of the other cars. I had already known the Lord Jesus Christ when I received the literature, so I knew right away that God had told His worker from Tony's ministry to put it on my sister's car. Actually, at first, I thought it might be just another stupid dead church handing out flyers. But when I started reading it, I realized it was the true gospel and was very pleased. I just think there was a reason why God had someone from your ministry put one of your pieces of literature on my sister's car. I have very few Christian friends, so when I find true Christians, I am very joyful. That is why I am happy to send you this message. Blessings be to God's humble servants. Matthew from Hampstead, Maryland.
Praise the Lord, yes. We just put over 20,000 pieces of literature such as that in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and in Los Angeles. We put 40,000 into some other area, I can't remember. And then New York and Los Angeles, there's I don't know how many thousand every day. We put in those places, and then we have hundreds of distributors in the United States, in many hundreds of them outside of the United States that are putting these tracts there, and they're there because God commanded us to put them there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Lest you think that you are special to the Lord. He died for you if you were the only one that was ever going to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. But we're after everybody. And we're not the kind of Christians that just go down the street, you know, and just put... Let me see, I'll put a tract on this car, a piece of literature on this car. There may be one on this. We just hit every one of them that we can, okay? So any of those of you people out in the radio land that are hearing this, one of these days, if you haven't received one or 100 of them or more on your cars or on your doorstep, you're going to get one of these days. We'll get to you. It could be that you just drove out of the mall when we were going in there or something. All right, it maybe wasn't the right time, but now is the time of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Next letter is from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in Jesus' name. I am Pastor Dennis from Zambia, Southern Africa. Pastor Alamo, my life has changed ever since I came across your soul-winning literature 3 years ago. My congregation also has benefited from the grace of the Lord that is imparted upon them from reading your materials.
Okay, the grace of the Lord means the power of God. It does not mean undeserved favor, because you deserve whatever the Lord says you can get if you'll come to Him and obey Him, because you're the house of God, and you deserve everything that the Lord, all the promises and blessings that He says belong to you. And it's deserved because you come to Him, you choose to come to Him, it's your will to go to Him and be saved and to consecrate, give your entire body, surrender your entire body over to Him to use as He will. And don't complain about what way He does, or don't try to tell Him how to do it. We have people right in here all the time and say, I want to be a counselor. Well, don't say that. Let God choose what He wants you to be, all right? because this person said, I just got saved from reading one of your pieces of literature, and now I've decided, don't do that, okay, because the Lord says when you stand before the judgment, have I not done great and mighty things? He owns you, and let him decide what he wants you to do. And if he tells you that you've got to be a scrub lady, don't get ticked off and throw the mop away and just march out the door, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or throw the mop bucket on the floor and spill it all over the place and be upset. Because if he wants me, when I first got saved, you know, the Lord told my wife Susie, my deceased wife Susie, who I love to this very day, and we were married 17 years, she said that we had to get a job. Well, I owned a Beatles album worth over $100 million, I don't know. But it's never been released. I received it from Peter Best, the original drummer of the Beatles, who his mother had recorded 6 albums, is what I was told, or six, what would today be 6 CDs. And he says, I'll give you one of them if you'll do me promotion. And I says, okay, that's fine, I'll do it, okay? And so, Susie told me that I have to get a job at this third-rate motel managing it. And not only managing it, but I had to manage the... It was in Las Vegas, of all places. And I had to manage it. I was the person that registered people when they'd come in. And we also were running for the same man that owned the motel, a place called the Cupid Wedding Chapel, which was just next door to that place. And somebody would ring the doorbell at the Cupid's Wedding Chapel, and it would ring inside the motel office, and I'd have to run over there very fast, and here would be a couple, and they'd say, we want to get married. And so I'd go, well, okay. And I'd say, because I didn't have the ability to marry people at that time, Susie told me, even though I did. But they wouldn't honor it in the state of Nevada, so because I wasn't registered there. So I'd call a minister up, and they'd come over and marry him. And then in the meantime, somebody, I'd hear a bell ring in the wedding chapel, and it'd be somebody wanting to move into the motel, so I'd run over there, and it was very hot, about 110 degrees. And I had these shorts on that they were, you know, because you wouldn't be able to live, and I had to crawl up on the roof and fix the swamp coolers and everything. And I thought, well, and I have to change the beds also. Part of the job was that I was also the custodian of making the beds and cleaning the toilets and the sinks and vacuuming and tidying up the place for the next people that would come and move into the motel. And I thought this was what God saved me for. At first, I was just a baby Christian. I thought, well... because I had so much fear of God. Now, I hear there's a check from the Lord about talking about the fear of the Lord right now. So I'm not going to go into that. But I was new. I was so devoted and realized so much that the Lord had paid the price for me and that I was His, that I was willing to clean the beds, fix the beds, fix the swamp coolers in the place, the office. I go running back and forth, hardly getting any sleep at all, because some people ring the bell at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning, and I just get to sleep, and I get up and go over there. So I thought, well, this is it. I've been saved to be a slave to a bunch of people that come in there, and some of them would come in and just say, you know, I want to go in there and just have sex, and then I says, hey, not here. Are you married? No, man, I just want to, you know, go in there for a minute. So can we get a... I says, you're not going to move in here at all. And he went over to the door and he looked out back and forth. He said, is this Las Vegas? And I said, yes, it is. And I said, but you're not going to. You know, you might do that with these other motels, but not here. And so that's the way I ran the motel. And so you have to be a testimony no matter where you're at. I'm not going to license people to go in and have commit fornication and, you know, be able to sleep at night or be able to get into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to be a party to that sin, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so so the Lord, I didn't complain at all. And this guy was really riding herd on me, the old guy that owned the place, man. He says, you know, you got to do this and that. And I said, well, hey, I used some reverse psychology on him. I knew he was a very cheap type person because this was a third-rate motel. It was even less than third-rate. And I say, hey, why don't we paint this place? You know, I mean, I'll paint it for you. Just buy the paint. And it only comes to about $1,500. And he kept coming around, you know. Then after I started saying I wanted to do all these things, spend all that money, he was there very rare. He'd come in and look at, pick up his mail and go through it real fast and tear it up. And the ones that are just junk mail, and then do whatever he's going to do. And then he'd get out of there. And when we left, he started crying, you know, because he says, I'll never find anybody like Tony, because I did it as though I'm doing it unto the Lord, and that's what the Lord says to do. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it because of Him, not because of the fact you don't you like a person or something. But even if you despise the fact, because Sue and I just got married and I wanted to spend some time with her, and the bell's ringing over here and over there, and this guy George is coming over there and telling me to do all these different things, and finally I just said, well, that's it. I mean, this is my fate. If I live another 50 years, this is what I'm going to be doing. But Susie then told me, no, that won't be. You're not going to be doing this all the time. You're just going through boot camp here. But if I was, I'd have to do what he says, because he's God. Amen?
Amen.
And he's the one that lets you get into heaven, or throws you in hell, or you throw yourself into hell in the lake of fire. Okay, let's finish this. So don't complain. Don't murmur.
Pastor Tony Alamo, you are really a world pastor and someone who has been called for such a time as this to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right, and to let people know, you know, what the real reality of salvation is, and who that He owns you, and you're to be consecrated unto Him, and that means to surrender your whole life to Him and do whatever He tells you to do. And that's why you need to read the Bible, because sometimes the devil is an imitator of the Lord. And he'll tell you to do something like, do you hear of these women on TV that drown their babies and say, God told me to do it? No, they didn't read the Bible well enough. The Lord says, thou shalt not murder. You're not to kill your own little children. You're supposed to take care of them and nurture them. So she didn't know the Bible, so she obeyed what the devil was telling her to do. Now she's in prison. Art Linkletter's daughter got loaded on drugs, and this devil was telling her to go. The Bible plainly states, thou shalt not tempt the Lord God, you shall not commit suicide, you shall not kill yourself even, or murder yourself. So she goes on top of a building in Hollywood, and he says, if you love me, jump. I will have my angels bear thee up, that you dash not your foot on Coinga Boulevard down below. In Hollywood, okay? And so she did it, and she died. And that's why Art Linkletter is going after, started drug programs. But drug programs don't do it. The gospel, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is what does it. So even he, you know, he just unsaved. Well, I go to church, he might say. That doesn't mean anything. The devil will pick you up and take you to church. But if you're not born again of the Spirit, he'll keep taking you to churches. A lot of the churches are the same way. They don't really stress reading the Bible or keeping the Lord's commandments or being consecrated to the Lord. If they demanded a consecration in you, the churches would be empty. You'll never see large throngs of people. Even the churches, they call you fanatics if you let the Lord live in you. Well, I say that they're fanatics for Satan if they don't. All right, and that's what the Bible says as well. You'll consecrate yourself because He bought you, He owns you, and He'll do with you what He will, and you'll be called a fanatic. They called Jesus a fanatic. They called Him a devil. They called Him a bastard, that He didn't really that He was conceived out of wedlock. They called Him a drunkard, a wine bibber, a glutton, all kinds of false things. But He was the Lord God Himself. All right? And you better listen to what He says. Okay, then what else?
Also, many are receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior as they read your soul-winning literature, as the photos show which I have sent with the letter when I am doing street evangelism. Pastor Tony Lama, the prophetic book, The Messiah, has greatly inspired my life. Pastor Lamo, I need your assistance to send us 50 Bibles and your literature for soul winning.
Okay, make sure you send it to him.
Okay.
Because I can tell this person really is an evangelist. Okay, then what else?
And we have poor people in the church who need us to help them feed their families. We also need finances as a church to buy a church plot, buy chairs, and church instruments. Our budget is $5,000 to acquire these things. Pastor Long.
Well, we have a letter. I've written a letter showing how we started. Nobody gave us any $5,000. Then it wouldn't be a work of the Lord. It would be a work of the person that gave you the money. We spend our money for Bibles, tapes, literature, and also food for people, and clothing, and the people come up to our churches all the time and want to know if we'll give them some money for gas. Well, we don't give them the money. We take them to the gas pump, and we make sure that the gas goes into the car, and then we pay for it ourselves, or their light bill. They got a lot of kids, and they're turning the juice off in their house, and so I say, give us the bill, and we'll take care of it. And things like that we do, but their budget is high, $5,000. We had services in our house, and we'll send a letter to that to you in regard to how we started out for chairs. We got a donation of chairs from some church because they knew we were doing a good job, that we are winning thousands of souls, and somebody donated an old upright piano. And the momentum grows, and people that are in the ministry, we tell them to work. The people in our Los Angeles ministry do not work. There may be a couple of them that have jobs, but we don't want them, when they first get saved, to go out to work, because so many of them will fall back into the world. And so we like to keep them in the church to get them grounded in the Bible, and so that they have a solid... So they're standing on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, so that they don't fall away. And so we finance that church that way. I'd have to know more about this church before we would send them a lot of money. In the meantime, if they're really doing a great work, just send them $1,000 or $2,000. And then, you know, and then to let them know that... just get out there. If they're going to distribute the literature, well, then whatever they need, we'll probably give it to them. It's the Lord, I have to pray about that. Amen?
Amen.
But, you know, it's all right to send them a couple of thousand right now. Okay, then what else?
Pastor Lamo, I and the church take you as our spiritual father. Please adopt me as your associate minister. Looking forward to your email reply as soon as possible. Your consideration to this letter is highly appreciated in advance. Yours faithfully, Pastor Dennis from Zambia, Africa.
Okay, Buster's going out there, and Buster, he's hearing this tape too. If you see that they are all that they say they are, we'll give them the $5,000, all right? Because I guess the Lord wants me to adopt them. All right, then what else?
Next is a response from Manhattan, New York.
Okay.
Tonight, a female guest came to services from New York. She said she found your literature on the ground in Manhattan. She had been in and out of churches for years.
Ground? I didn't know there was ground in Manhattan. I lived there for 3 years. What he probably means is on the cement or the blacktop, the asphalt. Okay, what else?
She had been in and out of churches for years, but your literature is the only thing that brought the fear of God and conviction on her. She said she wrote to you requesting literature, which she received and distributed. She said she wasn't living an upright life and had to come to services to your church. She had such a desperate look on her face when we picked her up at the train station. At altar call, when she said the sinner's prayer, she was weeping before the Lord. After services, she had a big smile and the look of peace on her face. She said she knew God had forgiven her. She had never experienced this in any of the other churches she had attended. She said she could feel the Spirit of the Lord in our services, and she wants to continue to coming back for services.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is just... pulling people right out of the fire in these last days. And you're not going to do it by giving food to them, but you have to give the food to them and the clothing and whatever. But you have to. That has the main thing you got to give them is the gospel. Amen. The word of God is what saves their souls. All right, now Sharon, let's come forward here and we'll do some reading of how to have God's life living in you.
At the second stage or the second part, a person is constrained by the love of the Lord.
Okay, but being constrained by the love of the Lord is not enough to keep yourself consecrated unto the Lord. Because, as I said earlier, love is like a mood. You could love some person a lot one day and then not so much the next day. And then maybe they'll do something wrong. Your wife might burn your toast or something like that. You just want to see if there's some is this basis enough to get a divorce. I'm just joking. Of course, it's not. Amen. But the love, the constraint, all this is not enough. The reason for it is because love is a mood. But to keep us going, whether some days we may not feel the Lord so much, and the next day we might feel Him a lot. But on the days that we don't feel Him so much, we also have to remember that He purchased us with His blood and that we're not our own, and we belong to Him, and He has the right to let us go through whatever we have to go through that He wants us to go through. And He may want us to go down to out to Beverly Hills to witness, or maybe to Africa or to India, or for that matter Vegas. And we have to keep ourselves, no matter where we go, if it's the slums or if it's the Beverly Hills or Vegas or any place where there's a lot of sin, we have to remember that we don't belong to ourselves. We have to let God live His life in us. That way we won't allow ourselves to be influenced by the sin that's in these major cities, or the filth or the corruption. Or we're not going to be afraid because of the terrorist, the arrow that flies at night, or anything like that. That God owns us, and if He sees fit that we go down in an airplane or whatever, that's God's business. God can keep that airplane in the air, or He can make it crash. But we're not to blame God. Or I hear people on these different Christian programs, quote Christian unquote, saying, "I got so angry at God." Well, they're not consecrated if they get angry at God. Amen?
Amen.
What are you getting angry at God for? He owns you. You don't belong to yourself. You have to die just like Christ did at the cross. And you have to stay dead. His body stayed dead until it was transformed. And we have to stay dead, the way that we lived before, the lives of the world that we were living, we have to be dead to that. We have to absolutely reject the world. Because the Bible says, reject the world. He says, love not the world. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore, when the Lord tells us to deny ourselves, that means to die out. And we must die out to the world and then be resurrected in the new life. He wants us to be on the altar. The altar is where they burned these animals. They kill animals as blood sacrifices, which were symbolic of the blood of Christ. To show this lamb or this ox or bullock is going to be sacrificed is being sacrificed for the remission of our sins until the actual Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God, Jesus, comes to the world. Okay, and so these animals would be taken out of their stalls. They plowed in the field. They're going to have a whole new change of life, which is a death, actually. And so they'd go to the priest. The priest would cut their necks off. And when they cut the necks off, the head goes with it, right?
Right.
Because the head is attached to the neck. Okay? And they would chop them up and skin them and burn them, and they'd become a heap of ashes. And the smoke or the smell of this burnt meat was symbolic of His Son He's going to send into the world with Himself, and they're going to be die and be put through all kinds of fire. and then go to hell for 3 days and three nights. 1 second in hell is so memorable that you'd never forget it for the rest of your entire life here on earth, which is very short, shadowy, vapory, and grassy. And so he's paid this price so that he could live in us, and he can't live in us unless he owns us. He's not going to live in you if you're doing your own thing, if you're still alive to your own ways. He doesn't mean that you die physically, but he wants you to die spiritually, or your soul, to your old life, to be dead. And that, I guess you could call it a physical thing, but not, but people, you'll still walk around, you'll still breathe, and you'll still, but you'll be carrying on God's life, you'll be letting God carry on his life, or represent himself in and through you. Okay, and so that's what that means. Now, consecration is the only thing that'll keep you serving the Lord, will to be remember that he bought you. He paid the price for you. He shed his blood, went to hell for you, and then he resurrected from death, hell, and the grave, and therefore then he ascended into heaven, and therefore he has the right to live in you. He wants to continue his incarnation, in other words, his life here on earth in human flesh, incarnate in flesh, in you, so that his actual, the evidence of him having been in this world is still in the world. And if you refuse to allow him to show himself that he still is doing his work in and through you on this world, on this planet, then you are not going to heaven, but for sure you're going to hell in the lake of fire. No, it's for sure that if you allow the Lord to live in you and to take you over, to consecrate your entire life to him, to surrender yourself to him, to, for his purpose, to let him live in you and represent himself, you'll know that the power that comes with him as he enters you is strong enough to make you, to show you, to make it easy to where you don't sin anymore, and it makes it very easy for you to keep the moral law and to do whatever else he wants you to do, because it's him living in you now and not yourself. You're weak, but the Lord wants you to be strong by him living in you and representing himself, living in you and letting him do his thing, his work of redeeming people's souls. If you're not willing to do that, well, then you're anti-Christ. You're against Christ. Anti means against. You're anti-against God, anti-God. Let him do what he will. You say, absolutely not. Friend, I hate to hear you say that, because if you continue saying that and continue not repenting. Now, there's a... Did we read from 1 John?
Yes.
Okay, we read that where it says that if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. That's a sin. The Bible plainly says if you sin ignorantly, you can be forgiven for that. But if you do this willingly, there's no more repentance for you. That means if you did it ignorantly, then you have an advocate with the Father through Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus will take away that sin. But further on in that chapter, 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 1, you'll see all the way through that he that sins, the Lord won't allow you to sin and get into heaven. Not one blot, one blemish. Okay, read one more line. I see my time is up, but we'll go one or two more lines here.
But this happened to me immediately and is revival. Some of these people say that at that time you begin loving the Lord. But again, I loved him from the very second he saved my soul. And most people that I've ever seen are the same way, but we learn more.
Yes, because further, I read the Bible and found out that he bought me and I don't belong to myself. And so even though I loved him, but that wasn't enough to have sustained me for almost 42 years now. I have to know on a daily basis that God owns me because he paid the price for me, and whatever he puts me through, that's the way it is. And it's so easy to surrender a few years of your life here to be able to invest in eternity, to know that I'm going to live hundreds of millions and billions and trillions of years and forever in the kingdom of heaven, where no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the hearts of man how beautiful a place is that the Lord has created for you to live forever and ever. The beautiful things that God has provided for those that love Him and keep His commandments. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so right now you can have that, and you can completely escape hell by beginning your consecration to the Lord right now. And if you love Him, then keep His commandments, the Bible says. And that first thing is get to repent of all your former sins. He'll wash them away in the precious blood. Doesn't make any difference what you've done. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but now when you feel the power of God enter into you and you start obeying His scriptures and you keep reading, you'll get more and more powerful all the time. So begin now by saying this prayer. Begin, you'll be saved. But then those that continue to the end shall be saved. Okay, so say this to the Lord and mean it with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. This He did so that I could consecrate myself unto Him, so that He could live in me and have His way in me, so that I could be a soul winner, and that I could be whatever He wants me to be, or do whatever He wants me to do. Lord, I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash me away, all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. Your word is truth. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know You've heard me. I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Precious Lord, thank You. Now raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of tape program number 181.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now, don't forget to tell us whether you want a tape or a CD. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. That'll be tape number 80, program number 8, or this will be part number 80 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. So until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, and keep consecrating yourself, surrendering yourself on a daily basis to the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen and amen.